please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
Tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. From the WGN Radio podcast, Legal Face-Off, we have the man himself, Rich Lenkoff. We also welcome our good friend, Representative Martwick. And did someone say Theater Thursday? Well, we have John Sobel from the musical Shrek. And now, live from the WGN Radio Skyline Studios, we are broadcasting live.
Has everybody recovered from the 4th of July celebrations? I hope you have. And we are here to hang out with you for a little bit till 1 a.m. when Nick D takes over. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea, I have to thank you for driving. I know it's weird. Like, you drove me like a block, but it makes, in this area at 1 in the morning, makes a huge difference.
It's a mess. It's a mess, especially last night.
Well, you're so funny because you're like, there was a guy in the corner we walked by. And we kept walking, and I try to be uber aware, but I guess because I was with somebody, I wasn't paying as much attention.
Yeah.
But you were like, is he still there? And I'm like, is he still there?
Oh, I keep my head on a swivel. It's like, you know, the homeless convention, and everyone's begging for money, and then they come up to you, and it's freaky scary at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, apparently it's also scary at 10 o'clock at night, because Esmeralda Leon's friend was leaving the building. Esmeralda, I can't tell if you're there or not, but I saw her boyfriend leaving the building, and I was like, hey, and he like ducked and walked away from me, and I thought, oh, did I do something wrong? And he thought I was asking for money or trying to sell him something. And he goes, I didn't see you for who you were. And I go, oh, no one does.
Yeah, that's cute. That's very funny. There was a guy walking right behind me as I was coming into the building. And I just kind of turned, because, you know, you can feel when someone's walking right up on top of you. And I turned and he's like, don't worry, I'm not stalking you.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, good. That makes me feel so much better.
Yes. Yeah.
What a weird response.
But wouldn't that then also be the perfect way to attack you?
By telling you,
I'm not going to attack you.
Exactly. It's like, oh, okay, thanks.
Oh.
And then I turn back around and boom.
I believe you.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk too much about the path that we take, but it is...
Scary.
It's weird.
And dark and creepy.
And different.
Yeah.
And not that the path that I took, because I've been working till 2 in the... You haven't. That's the other thing is...
Oh, yeah.
This is new for you.
Complete role reversal for me.
I want to get... They have this weapon for anybody, I guess, but it's not a breast knuckle, but it's like a ring that you wear. It's like called Cat Claw. It's a company that makes this that I know sponsors other people in other parts of the country.
Yeah.
But it's not just a weapon, but it also collects their DNA.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
But I don't know if it's sort of threatening enough,
yeah,
right? If you just
yeah.
see like a, oh, look at my little cat claw. I don't know. I want to see this in action.
I carry a knife, and now I'm going to start carrying mace too. Oh, I totally do. And people are like, that's illegal. I'm like, I don't care. You know what? If someone attacks me, then that'll be illegal.
We should check with our attorney. I don't know if you're allowed to give us legal advice on the air, Rich Lenkoff.
We'll give you a pass on that and... Full self-defense.
There you go.
Okay, just want to check.
And
when my son Griffin was, my older son was, I want to say 7 years old, he took a martial arts class, and it was at his school, and they went through a lot of different things, but then they also covered what you should do if you're thrown in a trunk.
Oh, yeah. Kick out the taillights, right?
Yes, but the only thing Griffin remembered was that the instructor had said, pull out your hair to leave some behind for evidence.
Oh, God.
I know, because I'm like, at that point, we're just looking.
Right. At that point, you're done.
I was like, what are you teaching? I mean, I get it,
right.
And it was important. I just think there could have been a better way to maybe teach a 7-year-old to leave your hair behind.
Oh, God,
so
right?
So when they identify your body, they...
Or you leave something like a ring or, well...
But they want DNA, is what this instructor was telling the second graders.
Well, in all vehicles, I think now have to have that latch in the trunk where you could open it from inside.
Oh, that's good to know.
All new cars.
You can open the trunk, yeah. But, I mean, like...
Look for a tire iron or something in the back.
Yeah, I kind of think that kidnappers aren't using new models.
Right.
I think that they tend to go with maybe some older model cars.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're driving around in Ford LTDs.
Exactly.
I don't want to stereotype.
With no hubcaps.
Yeah. I don't want to stereotype our, you know, are criminals in any way.
Right.
And say that maybe they're not driving or kidnapping. Oh, this got weird. I made it weird. But at the same time, these are the things that go through our heads because and I are walking.
Sure.
Why am I even telling people what we do? I'm sorry. I'm going to stop right now.
That's okay. So they know we have weapons now, so it's okay. So they'll stay away from us.
What is legal for me to carry, Mr. Lenkov Esquire?
Yeah.
You know, there are things like mace that you can carry. I mean, things that you can buy in the store obviously are legal, but, you know, there's all variations of that you can modify and make illegal. Mm-hmm. So it depends what kind of mace you have, for example. It depends what kind of knife you have.
The Sinai pellets in my mace can
probably not.
Wrong.
Yeah, probably modifying it that way is probably going to get you in trouble. But again, I mean, to Andrea's point.
Yeah.
I would take the chance about getting prosecuted after you disable the potential kidnapper or assailant and worry about that later. So.
Exactly.
Well, what kind of stand your ground laws do we have in Illinois?
There's no stand your ground law as we know it in Florida. I mean, the famous case was, you know, in Florida. So there's no similar law like that. But every jurisdiction has laws that allow you to engage in self-defense if... You know,
if you think you're in danger, because that's what happened in Florida, right?
Well, that's where the scale comes in. I mean, whether you think you're in danger, Florida has a very liberal law that allows you to act if you simply perceive the other person to be a threat versus states like Illinois, where there actually has to be a reasonable standard. So
a lunge or something.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be attacked for you to act, right? I mean, most every jurisdiction will allow you, again, to defend yourself if a reasonable person in your shoes would feel threatened.
Right.
That doesn't allow you, for example, to set up an electrical fence at your house or, you know, a trip shotgun or things like that. It has to be reasonable.
Or carry an Uzi or anything.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Now, Scott, you live in the downtown area. Do you have any, and I don't want to, if you have something you don't want to share, but do you have any self-defense?
My rapier wit.
Oh, yeah. Hey, have you heard the one about?
Plus, I'm a cartoonist. I can draw them with a nose this big.
Yeah, wait till you see the rendering.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
The
artist rendering. Yes. Exactly, yeah.
The chalk outline just has this massive nose.
I will make you look fat. You better not touch me.
Oh, man. I need to start a new segment with you. I think that we need to start going through your cartoons the whole week and talk about the topics that you cover too.
Okay.
And we have to figure out what that's called now. But I mean, like, you do such great work, and I didn't get a chance to see the rest of your Pruitt cartoon. We're gonna do legal stories. We're gonna talk about the Supreme Court. We're gonna talk about Pruitt stepping down today and whether or not all those investigations against him. There were over 14. Open cases against him, from the sound booth to the luxury airliners to anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit. And also a story that Scott sent to me about immigrants being discharged from the army that we want to talk about. But I do want to the cartoon. Now, is that did you do different renderings, like a little bit? Those are all animals who are celebrating.
Yes,
that they're saved now.
Yes.
Okay.
In the forest, our forest friends.
So, because the appointment of Pruitt, I mean, for a lot of people who support President Trump, they liked him because he was anti-regulatory and big company, right? For, you know, for job growth, for encouraging development in ways that have been restricted before. The EPA is not supposed to actually do that. It's supposed to be about clean air, clean water.
Right.
And which I think everybody can agree they want clean air and clean water. I'm not sure how we disagree on that, but it just seems like it's a...
Well, guess what? The new EPA director, Wheeler, who is the, you know, deputy director, is even more, you know, conservative than Pruitt was. He was a lobbyist to the coal industry. So if people thought that now things are going to return to Obama era environmental protection, I think they're mistaken.
Well, that seems to be kind of the thread throughout the I think the cabinet members and a lot of the branches of government, a lot of the offices that President Trump has chosen people for, is if you don't like that guy, it's not like the guy you want is coming along.
Yeah, I mean, same thing with Betsy DeVos. I mean, she is reviled by many as the education secretary, but she has stacked the education department with people who were, for example, in the for-profit education industry, much like, you know, she came from. So if if you don't like the current person, watch out, because the next in line, you're probably not going to like either.
Yeah, the bench isn't deep.
No, exactly. No.
Well, it is deep for those who support the policies of the president, and they really do feel as though he's accomplishing the things that they tasked him to do, which is lower taxes, benefiting companies so that they encourage job growth, that we have unemployment, and that's what a lot of people wanted. And the sort of immigration policy that we have, zero tolerance, that's what the people who voted for President Trump are getting everything they want, which is why it is interesting to me how many people get angry on social media or even like at any of the hosts that talk about President Trump. They're very angry, and I would love to hear why. Is it because we don't like it? You can't have everything. You got the judiciary, you got the legislative, and you've got the executive. As far as all the Trump supporters go, you got everything. There's nothing left on the. I mean, our silence, everyone's silence, is not yours to have, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think you raise a good point that is often overlooked, and you might not like it, but Trump is the president, and he won fairly convincingly, and he has a mandate. I mean, we're fairly early into the administration.
He did not win convincingly. He lost the popular vote by 3 million votes. So.
But the Electoral College.
But he won the Electoral College, which is the standard by which the president is measured. He won that fairly convincingly. So, you know, when we're talking about the Supreme Court, for example, he has the right unequivocally to appoint anyone he likes as long as they're qualified. And he will appoint someone who is very conservative, as he should. You know, someone pointed out that no one was crying foul when Obama was nominating very liberal justices. No one said that they're too liberal.
Which Supreme Court justice did he nominate?
Elena Kagan.
Right. And Sotomayor?
Sotomayor. So yeah. They're, you know, on the opposite end of the spectrum of Gorsuch and the people that we're looking at now. So I personally don't agree with the politics of some of the justices who are being, or the potential justices, but you can't, I think, question his ability to do so, and the fact that they're going to get on. There's no way in the world that they're not going to get on politically.
And that was what he was tasked with. That was why people voted for him.
No question.
A lot of people, the long game was the Supreme Court. This was what they wanted. They were very excited about Gorsuch, and it seems as though they would be very excited about the three potential nominees. We were talking weapons in the Supreme Court. More after this on 720 WGN.
Message.
The United States Constitution establishes the Supreme Court, but leaves it up to Congress to determine how many justices should make up that court. In 1789, the Judiciary Act set the number at 6. In 1807, Congress decided that it would be 9. Then they decided in 1863 it would be 10. In 1866, Congress then voted to bring back the number to 7, and then again to 9 in 1869. And during President Roosevelt's administration, while he was trying to push through New Deal programs, he tried to create a court that was more friendly to his programs, and Congress would not allow him to raise the number to 15 as he wanted. New justices named that would basically for each judge that was over 70 that refused to retire. So we think of our Supreme Court as, you know, where we take the cases that will set a precedent. And it does. If there are cases that go out of court here in Illinois and they say, okay, well, we're taking this to the state level Supreme Court, and that someone doesn't like that. Is that how it works? Is that if a case is decided upon at the state level, the people involved can go, well, you know what, we're going to keep going. We think that there's a better argument for this, and we're taking it to the Illinois Supreme Court. And if that doesn't work, is that when they take it to the federal level, Rich?
Yeah, that's one of the ways that the court could accept a case. Remember, the Supreme Court is unlike any other court in that they have to accept a case. They have to decide that it's Supreme Court worthy rather than getting an automatic right. You don't have the automatic right to be in the Supreme Court. So they, as you mentioned, have to take a case that was decided by the state's highest court or that involves a federal question. That's also a way that the court could review a case if they deem that the issue involves a question that hasn't yet been decided.
And, well, here, I want to come back to the Supreme Court in just a moment, but I didn't want to make Chris hold on. I think he has ideas for us, or she. I don't mean to assume anything, Chris. Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, Teddy. How are you?
I'm very well. You have an idea for Andrea and I to weaponize ourselves?
Yeah, it's called Tiger Lady.
That's the claw thing, right?
Oh, I've heard of that.
Correct. Yes. And it's when you squeeze it, it's like a hand device, and when you squeeze it down, the claws come out, and it does collect DNA.
Right. So,
it does look like brass knuckles.
Yeah. So it's like a brass.
Kind of. Yes.
How many claws come out, and how long are they?
It looks like it's three claws.
Whoa.
I think we need a new sponsor of the show, Scott.
Wow, that's like Wolverine.
Two women on late night radio walking home at night.
That's awesome.
Yep. I think we need to get the. It's called Lady Claw.
Tiger Lady. Thanks, Chris. This is awesome.
All right. Do you know anyone who's tried this or uses this, Chris?
I just heard the commercial.
Okay, not on our station. We need to take
not
care
yet.
Of it. Not yet.
Yeah. Not yet.
Gonna work on that one, Chris. What do you carry anything to keep yourself protected?
My car keys. I put them in between my fingers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah, you put your keys between like
all the time. Keep your head on a swivel.
That's what
head
she,
on a swivel.
That's,
yep.
That's what Andre
I was
does.
Told. Chicago police.
I try to look bigger than I am. I don't know what that means, but I don't know what's happening in your car, but it sounds like fun. All right, take care, Chris.
Oh, no, that's just my work phone.
Oh, I thought it was like a kid's toy that you stepped on. All right, Chris, have a good night. Be well. So the Supreme Court at this time now, by the way, we have a text from a listener who says when we were talking about who President Obama appointed, they write Obama nominated center left judges versus radical right wing nutbags. Yikes. Who have lied to Congress that they would follow precedent. Chief Justice Roberts should be impeached for lying that he would rule narrowly. But with Citizens United, he had the case sent back so he could expand it to blow open restrictions on campaign contributions. Is that yikes? Somebody's a little testy on that.
Yeah, I mean, Roberts, you know, is not exactly what a lot of conservatives were hoping for when he was appointed by Bush 43. That is a point that underlines a lot of what we're talking about with current justice candidates is, you know, Trump is going to nominate someone who has been vetted. The difference now, even with Roberts, is that the candidates that we're looking at of this famous 25 list, they've been like vetted so thoroughly by the Federalist Society and supporters of Trump that it's very unlikely that they will change on the court. On our show Legal Face-Off this past week, we had a couple of former Supreme Court clerks, and we talked about whether the court moderates you, whether it changes you. We've seen Roberts change. We saw the most famous example of a Supreme Court justice changing while on the court is David Hackett Souter, who was appointed by Bush 41 and was supposed to be a reliable conservative and changed into one of the most liberal justices. And that was the dividing line. Now it's almost a verb that you want to avoid being Souter'd. So the candidates that we're talking about today, the three finalists today, there's almost no chance that they'll change because they've been vetted so thoroughly and they've been followed literally from the time they were in law school to the present. They've almost been, you know, molded into being Supreme Court potential justices.
Well, a good example is Gorsuch, of course, the first appointment by President Trump. And, I mean, he has followed a very conservative, strict constructionist, Scalia-type model. I mean, it hasn't deviated so far.
Correct. And you know, that's what you want. I mean, listen, if you're a supporter of the liberal wing, you want justices who you think are reliable. Not to say that you don't want judges who are nimble enough to change, but, you know, the goal of any president is to appoint people who he thinks will follow his ideology. And, you know, Trump, to your point, Gorsuch has been reliable so far.
And the three finalists, at least the three finalists, it sounds like we're talking about Survivor.
But that's how he announced Gorsuch's appointment, too, was the big reveal.
Right.
He had both of them, you know, with all the cameras on in front of a crowd.
He handled Gorsuch the rosebud.
Yes. And they had champagne together.
I missed that one.
It was very romantic. Yeah, no, but each one of them is like, I think the oldest is 51. Is the
correct
for the finalists?
Yeah,
Brett Kavanaugh, Raymond Kethledge, and Amy Coney Barrett.
Now she's the Chicagoan, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's 46. I mean, she's only been on the bench for a year, and that's one of the criticisms against her is that she doesn't have a long track record. Yeah, Trump said that he wants these people on the bench for 40 years, as well he should. I mean, why wouldn't you? You know, one of the reasons that Obama nominated Merrick Garland was because he was in his 60s, and he thought that was a way to convince Republicans to confirm him because he wouldn't be on the bench for 40 years. That didn't work out so well. But yeah, I mean, I think it's wise for a president to appoint a young person to cement that seat for generations.
It's part of your legacy.
Of course.
We still remember who the Reagan appointee. I mean, I know that Sandra Day O'Connor was an appointee by President Reagan. I mean, you remember who put those judges in there.
Of course, it's just the youngest right now. He's 50.
Right.
The youngest on the panel.
Although he looks older.
Yeah.
He's got the gray hair. He looks a little older, but he's only 50.
I you know, there's only been one judge who has ever been removed for being too political. I think it's kind of interesting that, I mean, no one even thinks about that. It's just assumed that they will be either liberal or conservative or follow in the path of whichever presidency or whichever party appointed them. But only once have we ever called it into question, and then that was dismissed. It was like at the beginning of the, I think it was at the beginning of the 1800s.
Yeah, and
it's one of those things that's caught in the corners of my
John,
brain.
Is it John Rutledge? Nomination has been rejected.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, no. Not right. He served on the court, but I don't know if he was, he actually served on the court and then was called out for being too political.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been Rutledge.
Different era now, though, because I think people do know more what these judges are thinking because they do speak more. You know, there are no cameras in the court. There's been a lot of talk about that over the years. There's always calls to do that. But, you know, you see almost every justice now doing talks and some do interviews. So it's easier now, I think, to determine their political stance than it ever was. I mean, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg famously talked about Trump.
Right. And she sold out when she was in Chicago here at the Auditorium Theater.
Yeah, I was there. It was amazing.
Oh, isn't that great? Saying she sold out.
No. I'm sorry. Her show sold out. Yeah.
There were lines. I mean, literally, I was in line for about 90 minutes around the block of the Auditorium Theater.
I had friends trying to buy tickets. Yeah. You know, I'm like on the black market, basically.
Who needs two for RBG?
RBG.
Did you see the movie by any chance, the documentary?
No, I wanted to.
We had the directors. It's two female directors, amazing, on our show. And it's been one of the most financially successful documentaries of all time. They made it for a couple $1,000,000, and it's made that back. And it's still playing. It's still in theaters.
It looks like they had great access to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, I think it's important also, our understanding of the Supreme Court is that, you know, whenever we hear like Justice Kennedy is stepping down and you know that seat is open and a lot of, you know, Democrats or liberals get really upset and, oh, no, then we're done. Now it's going to be a conservative Supreme Court for decades. And that's the thing is that, you know, one, people have been talking about now you see that elections matter, But the Supreme Court isn't the end all and be all of our legal system of the government. And so, I mean, then it's on you to pay attention to what's going on legislatively. In the state of Illinois, when President Trump was elected, the state legislature took action to make sure that if Roe v. Wade was overturned, House Bill 40, because there's a trigger law in Illinois. In 1970, after Roe v. Wade passed, there was a trigger law that if it was ever overturned, it would become illegal automatically in the state of Illinois, and it would include contraceptions, certain types of contraception. So the Illinois legislature moved to make sure that would not, that they would mm-hmm. wall and shore up the overturn of Roe v. Wade should that happen.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. I mean, you know, you take this to its next logical conclusion, which is what if Roe v. Wade is overturned, which I don't think it will be. Let's say it will. What happens? Is abortion illegal automatically? No, it then goes back to the states the way it was before Roe v. Wade. And, you know, to your point, a lot of states have protections already that will allow women to safely and, you know, terminate pregnancies at different degrees. And more states will go that way. I mean, I think the idea that we'll go back to, you know, the dark ages when people were having abortions in back alleys and things like that, I think that's gone. So I don't think Roe v. Wade will ever be overturned anyway, even if you appoint a conservative justice. But if it does happen, it reverts back to the states. And, you know, I think the political climate is such that that will be protected anyway.
That's with all cases, right, too? Like Roe v. Wade, anything that the Supreme Court hypothetically overturns, if states have laws like HB 40 or whatever it might be for whatever issue, it is ultimately then up to the states to decide, even if the high court overturns it?
Well, you cannot have a state, you can have a state law that goes against a Supreme Court precedent because those are two different things. You've got a court ruling versus a state law. what would happen is someone would test that new state law and then take it back to the Supreme Court and decide if that violates precedent. So you'll see a lot of that if Roe v. Wade is overturned. You'll see a lot more state laws being challenged. But again, I don't think it's going to happen. But if it does, it reverts back to the states.
Okay. Scott, you wanted to chime
in? I was just going to say that there are a lot of states where that won't happen, that it won't, the status quo won't. I can tell you, having worked in Birmingham, Alabama for years, that state, they would have an absolute prohibition against abortion.
Well, there are states where there are no, I think Mississippi has no clinics that provide abortions anymore.
That's possible.
And it's becoming harder and harder in states like Texas. Indiana became a state where a lot of women come to Illinois if they want to have a procedure done. So, women will continue to find ways to have control over their own bodies. You know, a lot of people were posting on our Facebook page for WGN Radio, I don't want late-term abortions. Well, that's not legal anyway, but, if that's the thing that gets you going, then that's fine, but it's not legal. Let's take a quick break here. More after this. We were going to talk about EPA. Scott Pruitt has the director. Is it director of EPA? Is that what it's called? What was the title?
EPA director.
EPA director.
Uh-huh. Or just guy that just tricked us out of a lot of money. More after this on 720 WGN. The other thing, I'm sorry, we're having conversations off the air, on the air. We're getting some texts as well. There's a texter who uses all caps. I'm not sure if their button is stuck, but I've resolved that problem for you so that you don't have to worry about sending us about 1,000 messages during the show. So you're fine. You're fine. Obama's Merrick Garland should have been given hearings, but Mitch McConnell refused and stonewalled his hearings. Obama still had almost a year to go, and he had the absolute right to appoint Garland, who was widely respected by both parties. I know that's now water under the bridge, but it's too bad. We probably can't go tit for tat in this case. It's just really too bad that the Supreme Court is becoming much more political and not very impartial. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and we are talking about legal stories in the news. Of course, this is the biggest one there is the Supreme Court. Joining us is Rich Lenkoff. He and Tina Martini host the podcast Legal Face-Off, which you can find at WGN Radio, WGNplus.com.
Tini Martini is much more fun, though.
Tini Martini.
You should call her Tini Martini. Tini
Martini. I'm sure she gets that all the time, and I apologize to Tina Martini.
Not a full-size martini, but a teeny version of it.
Teeny one. That text was very succinct, and it was very accurate and very true. I think that was a huge problem that Merrick Garland should, any nominee should get a hearing. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican or whatnot. You should get the hearing. Mitch McConnell absolutely stonewalled that hearing.
Well, he says that it was the Democrats who changed it because his predecessor changed the rules so that you don't need 60 votes, but that was for lower court judges. So, it depends on whose side of this argument you are, but he says that the Democrats actually changed it under the former Nevada senator, who was the speaker.
Or
majority leader, I should say.
And a lot of people will go back and forth on what we could have done or what should have been done. But really, ultimately, we're dealing with what's happening now, and that's the best anybody can do is to continue to have conversations about these things.
Right. Garland, by the way, he should have had a hearing.
Yeah.
At least. I agree with
that. There's no way that the Democrats can do anything. I mean, there's literally nothing they can do except try to appeal to the public. But, that has no effect either.
No.
Even if you support the Democrats, what are you going to do? Trump is the president. He has the right to appoint who he wants to. And the Republicans have a majority in the Senate. So unless things change or unless they can appeal to, people like Susan Collins, this nominee is getting in.
Well, I did ask the question, can you run out the clock until the midterms? I think they're too far away. Perhaps, but I also I don't know that the Democrats have much of a chance of taking.
Well, that's the funny thing. If I'm Trump, I almost want to say, "Okay, you really want to wait? Let's see what happens." And then they're going to gain seats in the Senate, and then what? Then you appoint someone who's even more to the right. he's going to get the nominee in place by the time the court opens on the first Monday in October. He's well on within that time frame. I think the average is 66 days to get the process done, to get the nominee confirmed, and he's on that time frame. It's almost, you don't want to get into conspiracy theories, but Kennedy almost, was involved in the timing perfectly.
I also want to talk about, obviously, the director of the EPA has stepped down today. And Scott immediately, because we were walking, he was like, what should I draw today?
Yeah.
And then, like a half an hour later, bling. I mean, that's what the universe must be like for you.
Oh, no. No. It's more complicated than that. After you, because you saw my cubicle.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible. but anyway, after you left, I came up with an idea that was, frankly, mediocre. And I was drawing it. And then, of course, your screens and all over the news, bing, 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 bing. And I go, oh, crap. I walk over to my boss's office. Should I draw? I'll go draw on it. So I went and drew the cartoon. I cranked that thing out fast.
You did. I was mesmerized. I was looking at all the animals, and they're having a cocktail party.
Yes, they're dancing.
Yes, they're dancing. Yes,
and it's all the woodland critters.
And just, I wonder if there are Trump supporters and conservatives, because I don't know of any Democrats. It seemed like a lot of Democrats did not like Pruitt as the director of the EPA. I haven't really heard much from Republicans, except for maybe the idea that if it's one of Trump's guys, he must be doing the right thing. He was very pro
industry. You get that, but a lot of Republicans are a huge saw. Even the Wall Street Journal before today was saying, just leave, Scott. Please, just go away. Because there's so many. You said, what is it, 14?
Well, here, he fired an aide who refused to alter his calendar after the fact. They wanted to change things. He flew luxury class non-U.S. flights, which is against the ethics rules for his office. $40,000 on a trip to Morocco on a trip about natural gas, which is actually not his office's purview. his staff spent $45,000 prepping for a trip to Australia that never happened.
How much to prep for the trip?
$45,000.
How do you prep for a trip?
That's a lot of Samsonite.
I've been to Sydney. I don't think I prepped at all.
The consultants, the scheduling, everyone putting in hours, planning out the trip. $43,000 soundproof phone booth in his office.
That was my favorite. That was smart.
For those of us of a certain age.
Cone of silence.
Yeah, the cone of silence. Yeah. You need that.
I think we all need that. By the way, he was found to have violated ethics policy, but the president is responsible for determining punishment, and in this case, he has been silent. More after this on 720 WGN. Hope you're having a lovely evening. It is July 5th, the day after our Day of Independence, at least the day that we celebrate and set up fireworks. I hope nobody got hurt. I'm sure I say that, and I know that somebody must have gotten hurt somewhere. But I get really nervous around fireworks. I know we talked about this yesterday, Andrea.
Yeah.
Did you say you had ever lit fireworks before?
I never did. I'm searching because I think there were some kids who did get hurt with fireworks. But it was just your typical getting too close, mm-hmm. then lighting them. We weren't allowed to do them. We would watch the neighbors do it. Which was kind of cool, growing up in the South Suburbs. We watched the neighbors light off the fireworks, yeah. Well, or we'd go to the firework display, but we couldn't light them off.
I would always be out. I'm sure if I did that, I'd be like, I'm just going to have 911 at the ready. Rich Lankoff, did you ever light any fireworks?
Maybe as recently as 24 hours ago, I might have been in charge of a fireworks display in my alley. Maybe. I've got some pictures to share, but yeah, absolutely.
And I believe Scott's
being from Canada, this is all new to me, so I'm enjoying the July 4th over the last few years. But
do they not do fireworks in Canada for anything? Oh, nice. See, is that
there's
the
me running
Look
from
at
one
you.
Of the.
I found a bunch of those in my yesterday. Driveway.
Wait a minute. I've never lit a firework. Apparently, Scott Santis has destroyed his own property at some point.
Yes,
he set his lawn on fire.
I did. Did you see? Have you seen the video they posted today about? It looks like it's a plane coming into Los Angeles, and they say fireworks are against the law in Los Angeles, and there's just fireworks all over the place. It looks like Beirut at the time, at the height of the war.
Yeah. Representative Robert Margaret joins us. We live in the same neighborhood. Do you have you ever partaken in lighting fireworks?
I've never. I'm not a fireworks. I enjoy them. Mm-hmm. Last night we got home with my almost two-year-old son. And it was like a war zone, as you said, Scott. But we were so afraid when we took him out of the car at 9 o'clock at night that he would freak out. But he absolutely loved him. So we wound up sitting outside for another 45 minutes and just watching all of the various neighbors blow off some pretty impressive privately owned fireworks, I have to say.
Yeah, there seem to be the game has upped, as it were, with what people are setting off on their own property.
Yeah.
Or in the parks. The park that we hang out near, there were, it's like a big cloud of smoke still hanging over it 2 days later. It's rain. Yeah. You know, but their fireworks were still going off at 2:30 in the morning. I was still up at 2:30 and people were still setting them off. A friend of mine who is pregnant with her fourth child, her husband's a police officer, and he was working overtime last night. So she was, you know, not able to sleep because of all the fireworks. And she has had a picture this morning of like a triple espresso to try to get through today. You know, and she's like, I hope this is okay for the baby, but I'm going to need this to take care of everybody else.
Darn right.
Well, the point of the fireworks, you know, I guess every single person, when they light that firework, they're like, yay, democracy! I mean, like, that's why they're doing it, right? They're very excited.
sure.
They're like,
we'll go with that.
This is to the Bill of Rights, right? And
1776.
Yeah, stick it, England. I mean, that's why they're doing it, right?
Can't quarter office army people in my house. Woohoo!
No quartering of soldiers. By the way, does anybody know, has there ever been a case in the United States of for that amendment, the no quartering of, no, the Bill of Rights, I guess? Is it the third or fourth, no quartering of soldiers?
You got me on that one.
It's like the least talked about amendment.
You would think it would. I mean, it's in the top five. It must have been pretty important at the time, but never really came up again, did it?
It's the Third Amendment.
The Third Amendment.
Third.
No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law.
Mm-hmm. See? Everyone's all up in arms about the first and second. Everyone knows those, but no one's...
I'm pretty sure I heard something about that between the rockets going off last night.
Yes.
But it was hard to tell, really.
Habeas corpus, bitches! Is that what they're doing? They're lighting them off? So we've been talking about democracy all week. And actually, last night, I had done a lot of research on the work that Abraham Lincoln did in regards to understanding the Declaration of Independence. And in particular, when he had a debate with Stephen Douglas right here in Illinois. You know, they used to have like these 4 to 6 hour debates and give speeches. 10,000 people would show up for these. It's interesting when you read about it, how he realized he was going to lose, but he was looking at the bigger picture and knew that this was going to be the thing that catapulted him to the national stage. And I mean, the speech he gives in at Cooper's Union in 1860 is remarkable, as he breaks down all the elements of what it means for, you know, all men are created equal. And I wanted to talk about this now at the local level. And one of the reasons I started going to Springfield was in 2015, when budgets were cut, $26 million were cut from programs across the state of Illinois. It started to dawn on me that maybe we weren't really paying as much attention to what happens to us locally, what our legislators in our neighborhoods and our communities are doing that affect us directly. Because within a week of those funds being cut, there were parents who lost services like in the blink of an eye. Easter Seals locked their doors and told parents through the cracks of the door, I'm so sorry, they've cut our funding, we can't open our doors. A mother who had a child with cerebral palsy who is not able to move much more than her eyes and her lips, she lost all of her respite care for her. And now at this point, I mean, we'll never know the suffering that was really caused by that budget impasse, by those services that were cut. Her daughter now lives in a full care facility because she was not able to provide care for her and able to work outside of the home. So that's why I started going to Springfield, and I really believe that, and I will continue to have these conversations about showing up and talking to your legislator, your state reps, your state senators, and your aldermen too. You know, if you have, and not in the way that, look, Maxine Waters can say whatever she wants about, you know, yell at them, tell them you're whatever. You know what? If you are a reasonable human being, going and having a reasonable conversation with your legislator, I believe, is the best way to make sure that your story is heard.
Absolutely. It's the most effective way. Unlike, you know, our congressmen who represent 750,000 people each, you know, your state representatives represent about a seventh of that. We represent about 120,000 people, 110,000 people. Your state senator is about twice that. But we can have those conversations with our constituents, and it does give you an opportunity to really weigh in on what's going on. And, you know, I get it. People are busy, right? I mean, there's a lot going on. People are trying to make ends meet. You know, if you're middle income, you haven't seen your wages grow in you know, not considerably in over a decade. You're working harder, you're making less, you're trying to make ends meet, you got kids going to school, playing soccer, whatever it is. You're busy. But here's the thing. You don't have to participate in democracy, but if you don't, someone will be happy to take it away from you, right? And so, you know, that's kind of this, and that's why I love your story, Patty, and how we met and how you started coming down to Springfield. It was because you were going along and you had your challenges, your life was busy, you had your son, and it didn't really get you until it slapped you upside the head, well, and you went, what the heck just happened?
Well,
right?
That was the thing, is that I never lost any of my services. I mean, I had started going down in 2010 after my husband lost his job. I went down once because there's a program called Applied Behavioral Analysis. Mm-hmm. And that was something I wanted to have conversations with you guys about. But when the funds were cut, that didn't affect me. But the way I saw moms, but I knew that panic. I understood that panic. I knew that alarm bell of what do I do now? I'm doing everything I can. And what if this is the one thing that makes my child regress? Or what if this is the thing that leads to their demise? What if this is how they die? I mean, really?
Well, right. And exactly. And of course, I simplify it because, of course, you already had Katowski on your show. You're already talking about issues. You're already into it. But you got to see, because of who you represented, you got to see all the people who really were caught off guard by it.
Yes.
And that's the thing about democracy. You don't have to pay attention. No one requires you to. No one requires you to vote. No one requires to know who your state representatives are. Here, I'm here to tell you that most people don't know who you are. And but when you're not looking, that's when the people who would rather see government work better for them will take away the things that work for you.
Right. And I was on John Williams' show today and someone texted in. We were talking. I said I was going to discuss democracy with you and our guests. And someone texted in. I was always taught, according to this listener, that we live in a representative republic, not a democracy. We live in a representative democracy, which is a form of democracy. We don't live in a direct democracy, meaning we don't vote on every single thing. We are able to show up at our polling place and cast our ballots and decide who is best suited to represent us. But even if registered voters, they don't all show up. I like you said, we're busy. It's too hard. I don't get it. Or my vote. You know, a lot of people say, they say my vote doesn't matter. My vote doesn't count. What do you say to folks who say that?
Well, keep thinking that, and I guarantee you it won't. And really, it's that simple, because, again, there are a democracy, it just means a choice, right? You get a choice on what your government is going to look like, but you have to make that choice. And it can be a proactive choice, I choose A or B, or you might just say, I decide not to choose. There are a lot of people who say, you know what, you make too many choices already. Aren't you burdened by all those choices? Let's take some of those choices away from you. And I mean, that's what's going on, right? I mean, this is one of the big discussions of our time right now, and there are a lot of people who will disagree with me on this one, but you know how I feel about term limits, right? The whole concept of term limits is that if you live in a democracy, you get to choose who represents you in government, and term limits is a way of saying, you don't want to bother making all those choices. We'll just take those away from you. And that's what it is. You don't no longer get to vote for the person you want to. The government is now going to tell you who you can and cannot vote for. Who does that benefit? Does that benefit you as a voter? No, it benefits somebody else.
But what if the voters vote to have term limits?
That's right. That's a choice. And you know, one of the things I've said on your show an awful lot is that the gift of democracy is the ability to choose your own government, and the price is that you have to live with your bad decisions.
Yes.
Can I throw out an idea real quick here?
Can you tease us with the idea?
I can. It's Australian.
Ooh, we're going to talk Australian ideas when we come back. We're talking democracy, 312-981-7200. I know, everyone's like, I didn't know we were doing a civics class tonight, Patty. Everyone, have your pencils ready. We're going to do a quiz when we come back. More on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis in a moment on 720 WGN. Get up! I think we need to do a dance party. I think every hour there should be a dance party. And, oh, you know what we could do, Andrea? We could have people, if they're watching on WGNradio.com, people who know when we had the dance party would be able to tell by watching us, and then they would win something.
Oh,
so every hour we have to do a dance.
That's a good idea.
Andrea's like, that's
I'm
good.
Like, that's a great idea.
Do I have to dance as a part
do we
of this?
Even, are we even on today? I don't see cameras on.
I don't know. Well, our listener Ken would tell us if there was a problem.
Oh, and that's right.
Told
Ken's
us
my guy.
If there's an issue. We are talking about democracy, and I suspect that what Scott was teasing us about, teasing us with, not about.
Yes.
About Australia is something a texter also chimed in.
Is that right?
On our screen, but I'm going to see if you guys are on the same page. Joining us in studio are Rich Lenkoff. He is the he's an attorney and also the co-host with Tina Martini of Legal Face Off on WGNplus.com. Representative Robert Martwick representing the Rootin' Tootin' 19th District on the Northwest Side, including
Rootin' Tootin',
including areas like Jefferson Park, Harwood Heights. Let's see, we got parts of Portage Park.
A lot of Portage Park,
mostly Portage Park.
Portage, Jefferson, Dunning, Gladstone.
All that.
Yeah, Norwich, Harwood Heights, Elmwood Park, River Grove.
Fishman's is open again today at 4. They opened.
Today's the day.
They
I can't
opened
believe
at 4.
I'm too busy working.
I know. I didn't get to go either. I saw the alderman post a picture.
Stop on the way back.
Oh, are they? How late are they open?
I don't know. Until 2, I would imagine.
I'll meet you there. Right. I'm done at 1 now. It's so exciting. Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune and member of the editorial board, was teasing us with something about Australia.
Well, I wanted to ask the representative and the listeners. Down in Australia, they have, we just had an Australian cartoonist visit us, and they have mandatory voting.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you get a small fine, and the fines get bigger for the, like, if you miss the federal election or if you miss the state election, they're smaller as you get the municipal elections. Should we have that in the United States? They have 96 to 98% turnout for every election. And the result is they actually get moderate representative government.
And here's why. And it's the opposite of what I'm thinking, kind of. But so I've been doing stand-up comedy for a long time, right? And what they realized in the late 90s and early 2000s was, because they used to do what's called papering the room. You just give it away for free, right? And what they found was that it then, like, people just didn't care about the show, and they didn't really, you know, they, and then they realized if it was free, it must not be worth going to.
Yeah.
So I'm just not going to do it, right? So when they realized if they at least charged something, like, or they even did a 2-for-1, people would show up because they were somewhat invested in it. They had something at stake because they had paid for it, so it must be something professional. So maybe, I don't know if it's a fine or something, but it seems as though if you have something at stake, you'll pay attention. Right? It's something valuable to you. I know it's not a good correlation, but that's where my mind went.
Listen, I think Australia is probably the best example of mandatory participation. It does work in some semblance. There's no doubt about it. There's some bad instances of people, of countries that try and force participation that don't work out well because people protest against that mandatory participation in silly ways, but. No, I mean, it's something it's always so frustrating to me because you think, well, what do you need to get people involved? And, the rhetoric, and I know you talked about it yesterday, the rhetoric in our country right now, should we run down a list of popularly elected leaders who became despots? You know what I mean? Beginning with Adolf Hitler. How about Erdogan in Turkey? How about Vladimir Putin, who was elected at the height of democracy blooming in Russia? And now that's pretty much gone, right? So, I mean, there are people who will be happy to take it away from you.
I don't know. I'm with you. I'm like, how do we...
The easiest, quickest way is just fine them. Say, no, I'm serious. You just say you vote or you get fined. Boom.
I can't believe I'm hearing that from a conservative because that seems like
no,
government.
It's very, it really runs contrary to my libertarian innards.
Well, John Roberts would probably support it, right? He supported the tax on Obamacare, so why not tax on voting?
Right. Yeah.
Here, George has some thoughts. George's calling from the 708. What do you think about the voter turnout for President Trump? George?
Well, traditionally, voter turnout in this country has been low compared to other democracies. Typically, half of the people who are eligible to vote don't register. And of those that are registered, it's typical that half don't bother to vote.
Right.
So essentially, in a close election, it's really a 13% to 12% decision. And 13% of the voters are making the decision. The reason I called was that Councillor Lenko, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name.
Lenkoff, yes.
I believe you said earlier in the show that Donald Trump won substantially or convincingly, and nothing could be further from the truth. 54% of the people who cast ballots said no to Donald Trump. Only 46% said yes. And Hillary Clinton got 2,900,000 votes more. There is no major democracy in the world that has a truncated inequitable system like our Electoral College, which provides for the possibility and now the reality of a minority government. And Donald Trump is a clear and present danger to our democracy. He has an unholy fascination with dictators like Putin and the head of North Korea that he used to call Rocket Boy, but now he's good buddies with. And his party currently has a delegation of 7 Republican senators traveling through Russia. They thought they were going to meet with Putin, and he disdainfully told them that he had no time for them. And the Russian legislators they've met with have been laughing publicly about how non-confrontational the Republicans are. They're not questioning Russia's human rights record or the fact that, as all 17 of our intelligence agencies have noted and agreed to, that Russia interfered with our presidential election. Now, we're in serious trouble right now, and the three leading candidates for Supreme Court, among them Judge Kavanaugh, has written that a president has no obligation to testify. He can't be subpoenaed. He doesn't have to answer questions. And
George, I feel like you're covering a lot of ground that Representative Marwood would like to jump in.
I was going to ask George. I mean, you're bringing out a lot of good points, but the when we talk about preserving democracy, I mean, the whole idea of our democracy, right, of the people, by the people, for the people, but that requires us, the people, to act. So, you know, all the things that he's doing wrong, agreed, but we come back to your very first point, which is that nobody participated. So how do we change that, right? I mean, here's the thing. Like, I mean, obviously, I'm a liberal Democrat, so I don't think anybody's going to think that I'm a fan of Donald Trump. But my point is, I tell people all the time, he's the president you deserve, because that's who we elected. So how do we get more people to vote to change that outcome? What's your thoughts?
The first thing is we have to acknowledge, we have to look clearly at the fact that the Republican Party has been working very hard for a good 35 to 40 years to discourage turnout. Robert Wyrick,
I get where you're going and where you're gonna say that we've been driving down turnout and there have been things to do that. But that my point is, you know, really, if we're going to move forward from this point is, what do we do? How do we get people to come out and vote? Scott said, let's tax them if they don't come out and vote.
It's different.
Well, yeah. Fee. It's a fee. It's not a tax. It's a fee.
No, I sound like Rom.
but really, I mean, to me, that's like I say, I said it right before the break. You get exactly the government you deserve. You have to live with your bad choices. You know, I had a conversation just yesterday with a candidate who's running for alderman, and we were discussing this. My good friend Erica Wozniak, who's running in the 46th ward for alderman. And we were talking about a lot of liberal people decided to vote for Jill Stein because they said, well, we can't stomach Hillary Clinton. Well, okay, I understand that. You had your protest vote. How'd that work out for you?
Right. There you go. George, I wish I could continue the conversation, but I've got to run to a break, and I want to take Gene's comment when we come back from that. Before the news, you're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We're hanging out with Representative Robert Martwick, Attorney Rich Lenkov, cartoonist and editorial board member of the Chicago Tribune, Scott Santis. More in a moment. Shrek the Musical is running July 27th through August 5th at the Center Stage Lake Forest. You can go to centerstagelakeforest.org for ticket information or call 847-234-6062. And joining us in studio, I mean, I know John's doing Shrek the Musical and you're excited about John Sobel, our friend from Max and Benny's, but Andre, he bought us a lot.
Oh my God. It's so good. I couldn't wait. I'm sorry.
No, I know. I took a bite already and I was like, well, this wouldn't be right if I didn't bring one in for Andrea. I started using the utensils, so I knew she'd be like, I didn't use the utensils. I dig in right away. I'm like, just dip it in there.
Well, when I called you and said I'm gonna come and I want to bring something for it, and I said, will Andrea like a latke? She said, oh yeah, she'll like it.
Yeah, I think you're like,
latke, yes. I like a good latke.
Well, I haven't seen you in forever, Andrea.
I know,
so
when you walked in, I hugged you before. I knew you brought the latkes too, by the way.
Yes, she did. And the cookies. So there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't even know about the cookies, see?
No, I'll show you those after the break.
Excellent. I'm in.
So tell us about this production because you messaged me and I saw that you'd posted that you were participating in this. Let me ask it this way. How much of the theater work are you doing? Because I hadn't seen you post much about performing before.
No, it's, you know, ever since I got out of high school, theater became something that was something I did in the past.
Right.
And about 3-4 years ago, my daughter got into doing theater for our local park district. And I started working backstage again, and I got the bug again.
Aww.
And so about 3 years ago, I was cast in a show, and it was fun, and we had a blast.
What was that show?
That was The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, right. That's so great. What
and I was the wizard. So that was fun.
I can imagine.
That was a good time. And then so I've tried out for a couple of shows here and there. I haven't made it. And then the director of the show, Deb Goodman.
Goldman, sorry.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to be in trouble.
Oh, look out.
I'm going to be in trouble. Deb Goldman is an old friend. And she said, you have to try out for this.
Obviously not that old.
No. Right?
Yeah.
And
not a
luckily,
good old friend, just an old friend.
Right.
Exactly. And so I tried out and I made the show. I'm in the ensemble with a lot of different parts all over the place and with a really great cast.
That sounds like a great time. And I believe, Matt, how much theater have you been doing, you know, with the community theaters, or what kind of work have you been involved with before you joined Shrek?
Well, I've done community theater before, but, you know, just small bit parts and everything.
Right.
And so this is the first role where I've really kind of been, you know, out there in front. So yeah. We'll see.
How in front are you? Tell us who you're playing.
Well, I'm playing Shrek.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, cute. How fun. Now, here's a question, though, because you're a big dude.
Yeah.
Where they were like, okay, who's going to wear this costume? And they're like, oh, there's Matt. But you have a great voice, too, and a wonderful sense of humor and energy.
Well, thank you. Hopefully it'll, you know, appear to the kids that I have a wonderful sense of humor and not just, oh, this big guy and it's all green. Oh, my goodness. So
how are they doing the makeup for this?
Well, it's about an hour process right now. I don't know if it's going to take any longer than that. Hopefully it doesn't take any longer than that. So we'll see.
How much of it is like the costume and is, you know, prosthetics?
I have the cap with the ears on. I have a nose, and then the rest is just me in green.
me in green. I love it. And Rhonda, I haven't seen you in a while.
Years.
I know. I mean, I think probably at Zany's,
yeah,
hanging out in the back of the room looking at newspaper articles about, I think there's one about you being a mom comic on the wall.
Right.
There's a newspaper article about you.
There is.
And well, no, but I mean, you set the stage for so many women in comedy in Chicago. Oh. I mean, there weren't women in the 80s and 90s that were really, there weren't that many. When I tell people.
No, there weren't.
When I started, there was you, there was Diana Limo, Sonya White.
Dee Staley.
Yes. There weren't that many, so thank you for showing up, you know, and doing it. And
I'm a production assistant, so I'll be backstage, basically helping them in and out of costumes real fast.
I want to know what goes on backstage too.
I love backstage.
In between, you know, in
come,
between sets.
Come, I'll take you backstage.
Okay,
love it.
Good. I'll
There's
come
gonna
with
be
my GoPro.
A lot of people changing into a lot of different costumes.
Right.
Is that right? I would imagine there's a lot of change because you have a lot of different characters. We have like one on the line, Henry, who plays what, Henry?
Oh, I'm one of the three pigs.
Hey, Henry, how are you doing? What's going on, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Hey, very well.
We just left him. We had a rehearsal this evening.
Yeah.
Well, and this is exciting. I love how much fun they're having. Representative, we need like some sort of bigger theater production. I know we have the Gift Theater and they're professional actors, but there's something about the community theater that is so much fun too.
I'm just sitting here and I'm smiling because I'm hearing everyone talk about this, and you can just feel that sense of joy that they're getting from doing this production.
Yeah, absolutely. Henry, how long was rehearsal tonight? Henry?
Oh, it was about 7, let's see, it was 7 to 10?
7
so, yeah.
to 10.
Yeah, 3-hour rehearsal.
Good half hour of announcements first.
Announcements, like church.
So you have 21 days before you guys open.
That's right.
Shh.
What? Wow. Am I freaking you out?
No.
No, no, a little bit.
We're actually a lot further along than any other show that I've seen and or done.
Oh,
and
really?
We're
what's
really
contributing to that?
Doing well. We have a great producer who keeps everybody focused. The director, the music director, the choreographer, they've had time to really focus in on what we need to do. So they have a really good plan moving forward. And when one can't be there, we were right with another one. So we were able to work forward. And because it's a really interesting show, Shrek, if you don't know it, you see a lot of the ensemble and then Shrek, just like the movie, the original movie, Shrek and Donkey go to find Fiona. So they're kind of off doing their thing away from the rest of the cast. So they were able to have, when we had whole music rehearsals, Shrek and Donkey were doing their own thing and they were blocking. So we were able to pull things together that not necessarily you can do in large, you know, when you have everyone on stage at the same time.
Yeah, no kidding. It's a lot of moving parts in a play like this.
Absolutely.
A production like that.
I have to say something. These guys are so funny that I watch these scenes and I laugh so hard. So I have to tell everybody, come and see this show because everybody is so fantastic, but they are so funny.
This sounds like
thank you.
Sounds like you're all having a blast. The production of Shrek the Musical is starting on. It'll open on July 27th and run through August 5th. Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30. Saturday and Sunday matinees at 2 p.m. You can go to centerstagelakeforest.org for information or call 847-234-6062. I'm always excited about things going on in the communities and especially family events that you can take your kids to. And, you know, obviously, everyone loves Shrek. I'm just saying. More after this with our guests when we come back. Henry, I didn't forget about you. We'll talk in a moment on 720 WGN. Center Stage in Lake Forest presents Shrek the Musical, running July 27th through August 5th. You can go to centerstagelakeforest.org for ticket information or call 847-234-6062. Joining us in the studio are some of the cast members and production assistant Rhonda Cohen. Rhonda Greenberg Cohen.
Now they all know my Facebook name.
Yeah. I'm not supposed to say all your names. I don't know what I'm supposed to say, call you. I just know he's Rhonda. How's that?
It works.
All right, then. And on the line with us is Henry, who plays one of the three pigs. We have John Sobel, who is an ensemble member. We have Matt, who plays Shrek, the title character. Who plays, I can't remember the name of the woman.
Fiona?
Fiona, yes, Fee.
That would be Marcy Medwed. Is that her first name?
Yeah.
Marcy Medwed, yes.
Yeah, I love that you guys are putting together such a strong play, again, a family event. And we do Theater Thursday on the show because there's so many different things going on. And especially when people can stay close to home, go out to dinner, go see a show. It's so much fun. Rhonda, how did you start working with the theater? Have you done other productions with this particular theater?
Not with this group. I was with a different theater group back in 2008. I was in Oliver, and then 3 years ago I was in The Music Man, and then finally this year I missed it so much, but I didn't want to audition and have my heart broken. So I said, I want to be assistant to the director. Not assistant director, assistant to the director. I said, make me the gopher. And that's what I am, and I go to these rehearsals, and I make my dinner, and I sit there and eat my dinner, and they do their thing, and I'm like, a dinner show, entertain me. And they are so funny, and I'm like, oh, I die. Especially because when I first was started, I had bronchitis, and every time I would laugh, I would start coughing.
And start wheezing. That's not fun.
And these guys go, you're trying to kill me. Henry on the phone tried to kill me a lot.
Henry, were you trying to kill Rhonda?
He plays a pig.
Henry, were you trying to kill
me? I didn't know that was what was going to happen.
Henry, where are you from originally?
I live in Northbrook.
You live in Northbrook, and have you been doing theater for a lot of your life, or was it something you came to later?
It has been a bit of a constant in there. You know, I did shows a lot as a kid and in high school, a little bit in college, like every now and then there'd be a good one. Once I graduated, I started gravitating more towards the community theater scene. This is my first show with Center Stage, and I've been having an absolute blast.
It really sounds like you guys are having way too much fun. I mean, Representative Martwick and I are like, why aren't we doing this in the 19th district? How rootin' tootin' are we really?
Well, we have fun there, yeah, but you're right. Community theater would certainly be a lot of fun. Yeah. I don't think that's my, you know, I would enjoy watching it.
We need to do another night of comedy and music is what we need to do.
I was just thinking that.
I know, you sent me the flyer from, the show rundown from New Year's Eve. We'll figure something out, hopefully before the end of summer. Representative Martwick and I did a New Year's Eve show, and it was comedy and music and games for kids for the first show.
Not government and politics. No. Comedy and music. I actually have other skills.
Yes. So Matt, where are you from originally?
Well, I'm originally from Arkansas, but I've been here for like 11 years, so I count now, right?
We didn't say you didn't count before. Yeah. What brought you to Chicago?
Well, my wife, I'm a teacher, and so my wife was getting a promotion, and you can teach anywhere. So here I am in Chicago, but I absolutely love it. As far as big cities go, this is the best big city to be in.
Are you still teaching?
I am still teaching right now, but I'm, this theater thing, I'm kind of liking that.
Yeah. Good.
And he's good.
He's good?
He's good.
I can.
He's so good.
Oh, look at that.
Well, thanks.
Ron is going to tell us later. She wants to see the production up on its legs first, see with all the wardrobe and music.
He's really good.
And for those who are calling, some people are calling, they want to make sure we know how to get tickets. You can go to centerstagelakeforest.org. Again, that's centerstagelakeforest.org, all one word. Or you can call 847-234-6062 for ticket information. Again, that's 847-234-6062. It runs from July 27th through August 5th at the Center Stage in Lake Forest. Where is that located? I don't have the...
That's the Gorton Center on the campus of College of Lake Forest.
Oh, wonderful.
It's on East Illinois.
On East Illinois. Excellent. And thank you, John Sobel, for bringing us some tasty cookies and latkes from Max and Benny's.
No, I'm Jewish. I have to bring.
I have Elmo. I'm bringing it home for my son.
I'm jealous,
say,
man.
Oh, that's cute.
That is very cool. I know you brought socks, cookies, and you got the Elmo cookies. And you always do such a great job for like C2E2 and Wizard World.
Right.
Did John Barrowman ever come by your?
He did.
He did.
Yes.
You have a photo with him?
I have a long time of the year before we got a photo with him. When we made the cookies for him, I made sure to bring him specifically. I brought it right to him, and someone had already bought one and gave it to him.
Which one did you do, from Doctor Who or from Flash?
No, we did it from Torchwood.
Oh, from Torchwood. Yeah, he's done so much stuff
and he loved it. But we've done a lot of those cookies. We're hoping this year we're still in. Talks to do it again this year. There was a couple of complications.
He met Carrie Fisher not long before she passed away.
Yeah, the year she did in August, and then she passed away that December.
Oh my God!
So I have a picture with her and that we did a Leia cookie for her.
Did you? I would have loved to have met her.
She was so nice, because I just wanted to take a picture of just her and the cookie.
Yeah.
And she said, "No, you have to be in it with me."
See, Dean Richards interviewed her just countless times, and he said the same thing: just how down to earth and normal, and well, maybe we're all a little not normal, but but just super cool and very friendly to the fans.
She was. She walked up, and actually, I had my back turned to where it was, and I heard the voice, and she said, and I forget the name of her dog, but she wanted to know if we had a cookie of her dog.
Oh, the dog with the tongue who hung out. Yeah, was he a bulldog?
It was a bulldog.
Yeah,
and it was her constant companion, and I heard the voice, and it was the first time in meeting all these celebrities that I was actually speechless, because I realized you're standing in front of Hollywood royalty.
Her dog was Gary.
Gary, thank you.
Yeah. Gary.
Yeah. And so that was the first time in meeting all of these people and everything. Then I was the first time I was speechless in meeting her.
I love that.
But I got over it quickly.
Well, I'm glad you got that picture, too. And this is a really fun production. Again, we're talking to the cast and production crew for Shrek the Musical, running July 27th through August 5th. How often do they do productions? Do you guys know? I know it seems like you guys are working on this together, on this piece. Are you familiar with? I've never been to the Center Stage in Lake Forest. Do they do a lot of musicals?
Sure. We do. It's one major production a year, and then they do a Shakespeare in the Park every year as well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
So they do that. That'll be shortly after ours, because we end in the beginning of August. I think it's in September that is. So they're running other rehearsals at the same, while we're running ours.
And Henry, I know it's got to be hard. Now, I can ask why you didn't join them in studio, or you were just like, you guys go, I'll just call in?
Yeah, that was what it is.
Or were you not invited?
No, everyone was invited. Henry was actually probably really tired, because he had us during other portions while we were running some of the show. We were in another hallway, and he was helping a few of us run one of our scenes that we were doing, a dance number, because he's got it down, and I couldn't remember some of it, and another gentleman hadn't been there, so Henry was helping us run that.
And Henry was just in a parade yesterday.
Yeah, we're all helping each other.
Oh.
Yes, and then Henry, you walked, you danced the entire 3.3 miles of that parade route yesterday.
Yeah, we did. We were in the Lake Bluff parade advertising Shrek. There was about 30 cast members and crew.
Yeah.
And we decorated. We had a green VW bug, and we decorated it. It looked like Shrek.
Fun.
That drove along with us.
Henry, so far, what's been your favorite part of the rehearsal process? Maybe like music or just the backstage stuff. Do you have something that you've really enjoyed the most? Henry?
I think there's a lot to really enjoy with this show. I think probably the best thing is just how much fun we all get to have with it, because every single number has something to enjoy. I've often joked that there is a laugh with this show every 30 seconds. And there are some numbers where that really comes through. And when you get to see that, it's just so much fun.
He's right. He's right.
Yeah.
There must be something, though, like one number, Matt, that just like whenever you just get excited every time.
I'll tell you what, I really enjoy actually the scene, because I believe Henry is also in the night scene when Donkey comes in and the dragon is like falling in love with her. And that it's absolutely hilarious to me. So I enjoy seeing that. And then Farquaad with his the opening scene. It's just... it's hilarious. So I think that John was saying that, you know, we were off in a separate thing doing our own thing. So when we all came together to sort of put it together, it's really interesting to see just all these numbers that we had no idea were going on while we were rehearsing and just seeing it. So it was like we were seeing it for the first time. And like Rhonda said, it was hilarious. So.
I love some of the elements, so many of the elements of Shrek, you know, the idea of friendship and what it means, like what you are on the outside and what that means for, you know, loving somebody and that idea too. Don't
yeah,
you think,
it's definitely, it definitely fits the time right now, even though it was written so many years ago and even the musical was written. But there's a very strong statement in one of the songs is what makes us different makes us strong.
Right.
And, you know, I feel that's so important even right now.
Yeah. Well, I love that. Henry, you have a great evening. And everybody, go see this wonderful cast and crew of Shrek the Musical. Again, it's at Center Stage in Lake Forest. That is their website, centerstagelakeforest.org. And the number is 847-234-6062, running July 27th through August 5th. Thank you guys so much for joining us and bringing us cookies and latkes. We appreciate it. Was there anything I missed? I don't want to leave anything on the table, John. Was there anyone you wanted to thank? Because I always feel like people with the theater groups leave and they're like, oh, you know what I didn't say? Or you know who I wanted to thank? John, I don't want to.
Actually have real quick.
All right.
We have another cast member who's doing a big fundraiser for Epilepsy Foundation called Seize the Stage. And that's on Wednesday, August 1st. At 7:30, and that's the Community Arts Center in Buffalo Grove, and seize the stage, and you can look at that through the Buffalo Grove Park District website.
Excellent. Seize the Stage on August 1st. I'm so glad you got a chance to talk about that, too. You guys have a wonderful evening. It was great to see you again, Rhonda.
Thank you for having
nice
us.
Nice to meet you,
nice
Matt.
Nice to meet you, too.
Nice to meet you, Henry. Thank you again, John, for the latkes. It makes
my
me
pleasure.
Drop
you're awesome.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And Representative Martwick, I saw that you turned down the invitation to partake in a latke. You are shooing carbs.
I'm low carbonate.
Low carbonate. And I try to keep track of my carbs. Esmeralda, I have something to tell you about, and I think you'll appreciate this. I don't know if we've talked about this very much since you joined us, Andrea, but Esmeralda owns an extraordinary number of gadgets for her kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Oh, not that many.
It's a lot. You have well, but you don't have what Michael has, which is the egg dash.
Right.
The egg cooker. He has an egg cooker.
Right? I have one of those.
Do you have a dash? Look at this. Is this a guy thing?
Oh, it's a Cuisinart egg cooker, but it's the egg poacher or whatever, or the soft boiler. It'll boil eggs right in there. Is that what it is?
Is that what it is, Michael? It's like it cooks it to the perfect temperature for you, right?
Or yes.
The perfect texture.
Yeah. It's a timer. You set it in there. You put a little hole in it, and it cooks it to the perfect temperature, and it tastes delicious.
Yeah, I have the Cuisinart version.
Now, yeah, I have a thing. It's called a pot. Uh-huh. Put water in it. Makes eggs.
Is that new on the market?
Mwah. Makes it perfect.
Andre, do you make soft-boiled eggs or hard-boiled eggs?
I am not an egg fan. I'll eat like a scrambled egg on occasion, like if it's in an omelet, you know,
oh,
with
you
cheese.
Like...
and no, I can't. I don't like hard-boiled eggs or, oh my God, I can't even stand the smell.
Well,
I don't.
The only reason I got into them, I was forced to eat them. I went on a trip to Amsterdam, and that's all they served for breakfast.
Right.
But they were, and after a while, I'm like, You got to just give in, man. Lean into the
egg. It was like a hard-boiled egg? Is that what you eat?
Yes, it was a warm, hard-boiled egg.
Oh, God.
And I ate like three of them a day, and they were so good, so good.
Good for you. Protein.
Yes.
Andrea, I'll even make this worse for you. So there's something I want Michael to try. I don't know if, as we talked about this too, which is soaking your egg in like a soy sauce in a Ziploc bag. So it
Why do you want to do that to the people around you?
What
there's no, Andrea, if you make a hard-boiled egg properly, it shouldn't smell.
No.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Because I don't want to smell like this awful thing you're eating.
You're
especially
some
if it smells
funky
like sulfur.
Eggs.
You definitely don't want to go to Chinatown and have a 1,000-year-old egg. Have you ever had one of those?
No, it's a 1,000-year-old egg.
So a 1,000-year-old egg is, it's not 1,000 years old, but what they do is they take a duck egg.
Oh my God.
And they boil it. It's a boiled duck egg. Then they pack it in clay and they bury it in the ground for a year.
Oh, Andre does not want that egg.
And I have to tell you, if it's the smell of sulfur that you don't like, well, this is one of those delicacies we would say is an acquired taste.
I did not know.
Apparently.
I did not know we would stumble across your distaste for eggs and all things eggery.
I hate eggs. Well, yeah, except a really good scrambled egg.
A really good scrambled
egg. Yeah, with stuff in it.
No omelets?
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's got to have cheese and bacon and green peppers, that kind of, that I'll eat.
So it's more of a delivery system at that point.
Exactly, yeah.
I got you. Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to trip on that, on your anti-egg.
Oh, God.
I was actually asking, because the thing about the Dash that you guys have for cooking eggs is it's a single-purpose item as far as a gadget goes, right? So, I mean, for Michael, for the Dash, you can't cook anything else in a Dash.
You can cook poached eggs. You can do deviled eggs. Yes. It's many, many more
types of eggs. Oh, and don't even start with deviled eggs. Oh,
ooh,
God.
I love deviled eggs.
Everybody does. I think I'm the only person on the planet who doesn't like deviled eggs.
Oh man, I can't wait for your birthday. I'm gonna get you.
Are you making me deviled eggs for my birthday? It's coming up too.
Oh yes, I can't wait. This is gonna be a great day.
Why don't you make me something nice for my birthday, like a cake
in the shape of an egg?
Yeah, you want an egg cake?
No, I want a chocolate cake.
Okay, okay, man. I can get you one of those too.
No, right. No egg drop soup for Andrea Darling.
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm.
So I will not buy a Dash because you can only use it to make one item, which is eggs, in all the different variations of it. But I do have a cookbook for a gadget I have in my house, in my kitchen. I have a waffle maker, and I like making different things. And it occurred to me today, I need to eat more soy because I have high cholesterol. So I'm trying to control that through, you know, diet with garlic and soy. And by the way, if you don't like the smell of sulfur, I don't know how you can work in the same studio with me. I had about 8 to 10 cloves of garlic tonight.
Oh, garlic's fine. Garlic is okay.
How could
I'm Greek.
Be better than eggs? I don't know.
So you know they have a pill you can take for that.
That's why I'm doing the diet. Yeah. But that's why I'm doing the diet, so I avoid the statins. Yeah.
Why?
Because it's just, I would rather not be dependent on a medication and just control it through diet.
And so that's exactly what I said. I said to my doctor when he said, you need to get on statins. I said, no, I want to control it through diet and exercise. And then I had a heart attack.
Okay.
Oh.
Good point.
So, statins work miracles. I'm a big fan of them. My cholesterol is now a whopping 87.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
What?
Yep. Swear to God.
That's fantastic.
It is. It's wonderful. And so, you know, like I said, I get the whole, I don't want to put chemicals in my body. But in that instance, if you're dealing with high cholesterol and you have a potential for heart disease, I'm here to tell you, don't be afraid of the medicine. It will help you.
Okay. Fair enough. So I'm using my waffle maker.
You're George Foreman Grill.
I made a soy waffle. It's just the tofu. I just like put the tofu on there and I grilled it on my waffle maker. And I found a recipe. You're supposed to like kind of cover it in a sort of drag it through a barbecue sauce. I know. And then you put it on the grill. Oh, it's fantastic. I made grilled tofu today, but I made my own sauce because here's the other thing I've been wanting to do is I keep all the packets from all the like Chinese food and any of the delivery we have. So like ketchup and soy sauce and the mustard sauce and the sweet and sour sauce. So I made my own sauce out of ketchup and soy sauce and all that stuff. And it was fantastic.
The soy is so...
No, but when you grill
tofu is mushy.
Yeah, but when you grill it, it crisps the outside of it.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, you crisp it, and then you put it in there for mine.
It doesn't fall through the grill?
No.
You can buy firm tofu.
I have firm tofu.
Okay.
This sounds so gross. It just does.
I know.
You know, I'm thinking grilling like a steak or a burger or pork chops.
I made slabs of tofu waffle.
Oh, my God. Your parties must be a blast.
Griffin loves when we bring over desserts. I make chocolate chip cookies and really good brownies. And Griffin loves when people take a bite and they're like, oh, this is really good. And Griffin goes, want to know what's in it? And it's got carrots, zucchini, that's in the cookies. And my brownies have avocado, blueberries, and spinach in them. And
wow. So note to self, do not help yourself to Patty's cookie. No, I'm sure they taste awesome.
People don't know that, I mean, until you tell them afterwards, and then they're trying to like taste it and they don't. It's better than finding out your chocolate cake has mayonnaise in it.
Yeah, that is true. But that is good, though. That Portillo's cake.
You're not going to say it out loud.
I know. No, Mary Vandeveld had this thing for years. She makes the Portillo's cake better than Portillo's. It is so phenomenal and so good. And then we said for years, you know, don't say the ingredient, don't say the ingredient. And she's like, what, mayonnaise?
Oh.
So, yeah.
Did she make a chocolate cake shake with it, though?
No, but I actually ordered that one time at Portillo's, and the girl handed it to me, and she said, here's your diabetic coma. Yeah.
Oh.
The girl working at Portillo's. I said, oh.
That's not good
thank
marketing.
Thank you. And she goes, well, it is. It's basically diabetes in a cup. And I went, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Can I get a straw?
See, but if you put avocado and blueberries and spinach in there, it'd be better.
I like avocado, blueberry, and spinach, but I don't know if I'd like them in a cookie.
You can't taste it in a brownie. You can't taste it at all. It makes it rich. Yes.
Yeah. So on the topic of
gross.
Making healthy foods fun, right?
Yes.
Have you done the cauliflower crust pizza?
I haven't done that, but I've been roasting a lot of cauliflower. I'm going to big cauliflower.
Yeah, I'm a big cauliflower. Yeah.
I made the cauliflower mashed potato. Well, the cauliflower as though they were potatoes one time, and a friend bit into it. And she's like, oh, these are awful. I went, okay, well, I said, try the potatoes. And she went, oh, I don't know if I like those. What is it? I went, it's cauliflower.
You gotta
but I
tell
put cheese.
People.
I know.
You got to tell people it's mashed cauliflower so that they're not disappointed.
I tried the cauliflower crust pizza once. Uh-huh. Actually, my wife's on a big kick with that now. And it's really good.
I like cauliflower, yeah.
Yeah, I love cauliflower.
That'll eat.
Especially so they you drain all the water out of it, and then you pat it, and then you make a crust out of it. And really, it's like... It's not bad. It's got a nice flavor to it. You gotta try that one.
I will try that one. Steve and Johnny swear by this this pizza that's on basically pressed chicken. So the crust is chicken. So if you're looking, and I think they said it was at Costco. I'm not sure if that's where or one of the stores.
Really?
But if you're looking for a low carb, I'm guessing that would be another way to go too.
Yeah. Well, and then before my particular incident, I was eating the Lou Malnati's crustless pizza, which is just a hunk of sausage. Oops.
Have you seen that?
No, because my favorite thing about Lou's is the crust.
So they make a crustless pizza that is the sausage on the bottom.
Yeah.
Just a whole disc of sausage.
Wow.
And then the cheese and the sauce on top. And
but I love the crust. I know if you're trying to cut up the carbs, though, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think cutting out the carbs by making it a slab of meat.
Well, I got rid of the carbs. The fat, not so much. So
That's the thing. Well, that's, it was when I went to the doctor's office several years ago, my cholesterol was even worse because I had done the Atkins diet or the South Beach.
Yeah.
So I was eating meat and cheese and meat, and I would wrap the cheese in meat and then wrap the meat with cheese and then fry it. And he said I had the cholesterol of a 68-year-old guy who had been eating fried foods like every day of his life. And so I was able to control my diet, my cholesterol through diet. I brought
That's
it down
good.
Significantly. But yeah, I'm having a tougher time. When you get older too, it's just like.
Yeah. See, my dad was Mr. like hot dog, hamburger, French fries, and his cholesterol was always like around 100-ish, kind of, you know, very good like yours. My mom, from, you know, with the time we were kids, she would steam the vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, we always had whatever, like chicken breast and then two vegetables. She's got cholesterol so high that she's on medication now for it. I think it's
genetic.
Genetic with her,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've learned that. And it's just, look, you play the hand you're dealt. And for me, it wasn't a very good hand. So
yeah.
I'm doing the best I can. But you're right. You do, like, even with the statins, it's not good enough to just take the statins. And
right.
you still have to eat healthy if you're genetically predisposed. You're obviously... genetically predisposed, but you know, yeah, diet is a good thing.
My mom's the same way, by the way. My mom takes such good care of herself, yoga and all these like whole foods, and she's always, you know, grilling or steaming things. She doesn't really fry things. She does use a lot of olive oil, so because we live upstairs from her, because you can smell
Olive oil does not raise your cholesterol. No. That's monounsaturated fat. It helps bring down your bad cholesterol and raise your good cholesterol.
So do avocados.
Yeah, so I eat a lot of avocados.
I know. So do I, but they have a lot of fat in them. That's the thing. And I know it's good cholesterol.
Good fat, yeah.
Yeah, but fat's fat. So that's at some point.
Right, right. Yeah, but I mean, like, they want you to eat the good fats, but in everything in moderation.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. We're trying to get a guacamole making class together.
Oh, fantastic.
At Carnival. Are you in for the guacamole class?
Sure.
I don't know if we should do
I can just do that.
House. Okay. This is another.
Yeah, but this is really good guac.
I know.
Yeah, but it's not rocket science.
Well, yes. The trick to good guacamole is the avocado. Masher. But I will say this, as I was thinking about you today, when I picked up an avocado and I cut into it in my hand, and this is something that's happening all over the country where people are going to the emergency room because...
Oh, yeah, my mom sent me that story.
Yes.
Avocado hand,
a friend
right?
of the show.
Yes,
avocado. Friend of the show, Mark Badnick.
Didn't know.
Sliced his hand open the last week of session, opening an avocado.
Yeah.
Come on.
And okay. Swear to God.
The term for it now is avocado hand.
Yeah.
Because there's
yeah.
so many injuries.
So here's why I was doing it and why I thought about it. You don't need a sharp knife. I was just using a butter knife. So if I'd cut, because the skin of an avocado isn't like a watermelon rind. It's a pretty thin, easily cuttable. You just need a butter knife. You just push against
right.
it.
Right. Especially if it's real soft.
Well, a ripe avocado, you just use a butter knife.
Yeah. That's all I usually use. Yeah. I mean, as long as it's got little teeth.
Yeah.
Something to just grab a hold.
You could put it on a cutting board, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. I don't know what it is about avocados. It just feels, it seems as though I'm not the only, obviously, the people are hurting themselves. Do you make guacamole or cut avocados, Andrea?
I do, and I'm trying to find this article that, yeah, I do, but my problem is I use too much lime. I always like a little more lime juice, mm-hmm. so I'll squeeze the whole lime instead of half, and then it gets too...
I like that.
Too soupy.
Is it you don't? Oh, it gets too soupy.
Or it gets too. It's too.
Then you need more avocado.
Tart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Acidic. I need more avocado. Acidic. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't put any lime juice in mine.
Really?
I literally. I'm sorry. I'm very, very simple. I like just to mash the avocado. I don't like to puree it. I like it to still be chunky. A little bit of salt and a little bit of pepper. Mix it up, and that's perfect.
Wow.
I like a little bit of cumin in mine.
Cumin.
Yeah, I put a little bit of, I know. Mm.
Do you like cilantro? I like a little cilantro in there, yeah.
I like cilantro. I usually put that on the side.
On the side, yeah.
Ez, what is your go-to? Just the avocado?
No, avocado, tomato, cilantro, yes. jalapeno, yes. little onion.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, you totally mm-hmm. do it up.
Yeah. A chili powder is good in there, too. I like that.
I've never put chili powder in that.
Wow. I put a little bit of salt. I like a little
there
bit.
Are no rules.
There are no rules.
No.
Well, that's what the class is about. There's no rules, I'm guessing.
See, that's cool. You can put whatever you want in it.
Well, we could also ask them to teach us anything. I don't know what else you want to learn how to... But
guac is awesome.
Our friends at Carnival, so yeah. they do a WGN recess over there.
And they do some different kinds of guac, right? They do all different yes. flavored guacs, right?
Yeah.
So, I like that.
I do, too. There's a restaurant. What is it? There's a restaurant we had in one time, and they do like basically a sampler of different guacamole. So you can have one that has like a Jamaica in it, or it has maybe a sweeter like mango guacamole. Mm-hmm. I like those too. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna make them at home though.
No,
that's then I'm taking too many chances. I use avocado in a lot of stuff with my eggs even.
Oh
come on, that's the best.
Yes.
Oh, avocado and eggs, absolutely. Oh. That's what I eat every morning for breakfast.
That's what I have
one egg and half an avocado.
Yeah, I do an egg over easy over some avocado, maybe a little bit of spinach.
Avocado toast.
Yeah, that's good.
I brought an avocado today anymore. To just eat.
Yeah, there you go.
Straight up, just right spoon it into my mouth.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy. More after this. Tell me something good when we come back. 312-981-7200. What are you celebrating today? What's making you smile? Give us a call or text to us at 312-981-7200. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Hang out with Representative Robert Martwick. I know Elton Jim is in the wings, and he'll be taking over at 1 a.m. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Tell me something good. I love ending the show on a high note, no matter what we talk about. There's always something you can find in your life that makes you happy, something that makes you smile. And we are in studio with Representative Robert Martwick. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea, do you want to tell us something good? Do you have anything that makes you happy?
Come to me last.
Come to you last?
Yeah, come to me last. I'm trying to think of a good one.
I'm making plans. I'm getting very excited. And I don't even know if I'll be able to follow through or not. I actually enjoy planning trips for my family. And so far, I've been pretty successful at pulling off like last minute trips or, you know, because some people are really good at like 6 months ahead of time or they know a year ahead what they're going to do. I planned a trip within about 2 weeks ago to Philadelphia with my family 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then we did Disney World. And, you know, when we went to Springfield, I was like, let's just go to Springfield, you know, and just get it done. So now I'm planning
the eclipse.
Oh, that was amazing. Yeah. We saw the eclipse in, what was the name of the town that we were? Spartan, Illinois.
Sparta.
Sparta, Illinois.
By Carbondale, yeah.
It was a firing. It was a gun range, basically, where we were doing. Cool. We went to go see it. And so
when in Sparta.
It was it was amazing. And we saw all of the, you know, all this, the sites in Springfield, including the Presidential Library. Saw my friend Chuck Taylor, who's in charge of membership there. Anyway, I'm planning a trip to take my family to London. And so I'm trying to figure out where we're going to stay, what we're going to see. And I'm, you know, and now that Griffin's older, I can also have him do research on the things he definitely wants to see so I can know how long it's going to take us to get from place to place and how much time we want to spend there. So I'm really excited about taking the family to London.
Very cool.
Representative Martwick, you got something you want to tell us that you're celebrating today?
You know, not that I'm celebrating. I mean, I had a wonderful 4th with my son, which is really cool. You know, as you know, everything is about my son these days. He's the joy of my life. But you know what's good for me right now is it's summer, and summer means block parties.
Yes.
And you know, I have a unique sort of constituent outreach. I go to block parties and I own a snow cone machine.
Oh, fun.
And we take snow cones to the block parties. We give all the kids in the block party snow cones. And then I walk around and talk to all the parents and just introduce myself and say hello. And it's a great way, right? Like, you're in the middle of your block party. You don't want to be bothered by some politician glad handing. I get that. And that's why we bring the snow cones.
Right, I was going to say.
It is. It's no one.
Happy. It
does.
People happy.
It makes people happy. And I have a little saying when I go around. So I go, you know, house to house, and they say, "Oh, introduce myself," and people say, "Hello," and they look at me kind of funny. They say, "Hi, I'm the snow cone guy," they look at me, and I'll say, "Yeah, I brought the free snow cones for the kids." I said, "During the week, I moonlight as your state representative, but today the important job I have is giving your kid a snow cone."
And everybody loves that.
You need some signage because I think like I have snow cones for the kids might seem a little bit weird to people, but I think you're known in the neighborhood.
I have signage. Yes.
Okay, good. Signage is important. Yes.
Okay, I thought of a good one.
Okay,
so yesterday my mom came down and you met my mom before. Yeah. She was so excited. She was so cute. We watched the fireworks from up here and kind of hung out, and so that's my something good.
Excellent. We have, you know, obviously we're on the 17th floor, so we were all hoping that we'd have a good view of the fireworks. We do, as long as we're all crowded in the corner,
right?
Like looking at this one strip on the other side of a building. So about 15 people kind of climbing over each other trying to see
that's
the fireworks.
Funny. Yeah.
Did
that's
they start
great.
Yet? Yep, we're pressed up against the glass.
Like
it was
episode.
Cool.
It's an episode I would write of my own TV show.
It was very funny.
Hey, everybody, come on down. Let's go watch the fireworks from our office. So it was amusing. Michael, do you have something good to tell us?
Yes, of course.
Your microphone works.
It does. Hello, everybody. Yesterday was amazing. It was good to spend time with family, and I got a great nap, and I listened to the show. It sounded really, really good. And, there's a lot of good things going on this weekend. I'm going to be playing another show at Bill's, and then I have two shows coming up, one on the 20th, one at the Elbow Room, and then I have another one at this place downtown, actually, on Randolph that I'll be playing some music at. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And it was just a fun night. So it's good to be back.
Very nice.
Back in the saddle. And I hope everyone else is having a great night as well. And I had a great 4th.
Excellent. And Ez, did you want to tell us something good?
It is my friend Bill and Leah's baby's first birthday.
Aww.
Yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Technically yesterday. Walter William Pritchard.
That's a cool name.
Yeah.
I like that.
They always, when she tags him on stuff, he's WWP.
Nice.
Isn't it Nick D's birthday right now? Or was it yesterday?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's today.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I thought it was the 7th.
It's the 6th, isn't it? Oh, I don't know. Nobody knows.
No, it's Friday.
Oh, Friday.
Friday. Happy birthday, Nick D.
At least that's what he said.
He's probably sleeping because
Happy birthday, Nick.
Because we know he's not in tonight because Elton Jim is here.
Hey how you doing, Jim. Everybody? 3 days in a row, the hat trick.
Excellent. What's coming up on your show?
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
Because it's a secret, and I teased it last night. But let me just say that amidst all this warm weather, it will be a cool and refreshing show.
Excellent.
And that's all I will say. You'll have to listen.
All right.
To find out exactly what that riddle means.
I have to tell you, my mom was texting last night. She was listening to the show, obviously. And she said at the very end, she thought it was so funny. She worded it so funny about how she was laughing her sweet bippy off.
Her sweet, what is she even laughing?
At the three of us. At the three of us cross-talking with you last night.
Well, always have
sweet,
fun.
Yeah, you gotta laugh fun. Your sweet bippy off. That's always a good time.
Your sweet bippy. That's remember that from said, laughing?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. She's used that before. She said, oh, my goodness, I'm laughing with Elton, Jim, and you two. I was really laughing my rear end off.
Oh, wow. She went right for the Fosteris.
Like, wow.
She was not messing
around. Fosteris,
yeah.
The Fosteris.
All that stuff.
Yeah, your Fosteris.
Well, we're going to head out here. Are you on again tomorrow night? Or
No, this is it. Hat trick. Three nights in a row.
And then
Michael wants me to be on with him, be a guest. I was like, do I have to come down again at 2 or 3 in the morning?
You're so on demand.
I mean, I'm like a vampire. I can actually talk on the radio when the sun is out. I don't know why people don't know that.
On the other hand, I prefer not to come in when the sun is out. And yet, John Williams asked me to do the Mincing Rascals, and I was on his show, which was a lot of fun.